You know, everything we do in our Christian life impacts us in our ability to really be effective for the glory of God. There's so many different areas in our lives that we have to deal with that the Bible points out that impacts us, and it sometimes can impact us negatively if we're not doing what God tells us to do, or very plainly, if we're doing something God tells us we should not be doing. And so tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to talk about criticism, the word criticism. And I know some would say, well, that's going to be very negative, but it really isn't. But it is something that impacts our lives and impacts our ability to really have an impact on others for the glory of God. Criticism is a sin, can be a sin, a definite sin in our lives. Now, we don't usually look at it like that, unfortunately. A lot of times we think, well, if we're using God's name in vain, or if we're gambling, or if we're getting drunk, or if we're committing adultery and all of those things, and my, we are living in sin. And that would be true. But we can also have some of these things that we think are not so bad. They're just not quite as bad as the others. And there may be some social ramifications that you wouldn't run across in some of the other things, some things that are going to be the result of failing God. But one area that I believe God deals with is criticism. So I invite you to look in your Bible to Book of Matthew, chapter 7. Probably very familiar passage to most of us here tonight. But as in all things, we need to review these things from time to time. And we need to be reminded of what the Word of God says about this subject as well as others. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Very potent, very powerful passages of Scripture here for us. He says in verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, the little splinter, more or less, but considerest not the beam, the 2x4, the telephone pole, that is in thine own eye?" God must have a sense of humor. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" Now listen to what God says here. "Thou hypocrite." I'm just quoting the Lord right here. He says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Jesus here is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching us tonight the very same lessons that he was showing his disciples. Now, God does not forbid all judgment. There is a judgment that is a right kind of judgment. We might call it a discernment, but it is the right kind of judgment. There is spiritual discernment. If you will, look at verse 6. You have to discern in order to obey this verse. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." He's saying, be very careful that we don't cast our pearl before swine, that we understand there's a time and there's a place and there is a situation that develops where you might as well walk away from that and not continue to argue about it, or not continue to try to press your particular Bible truths on them, because you're probably going to be wasting your time. Don't cast your pearl before the swine. You can go out, and I go out house to house, some of you do, knock on doors, And you meet all kinds of people, and certainly you meet people that are involved in the cults. Not the occult, but the cults. And you'll run across somebody that has a totally different denomination that is totally contrary to the Word of God. There are those, for instance, that say, I believe in baptismal regeneration. You've got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. You have to, that's part of getting saved, is being baptized. Well, you can argue with them until you're blue in the face, and you're probably not going to do a whole lot of good. Because they have their path, they are people that have their doctrine set, and they're going to stick with it and stay with it no matter what you say. And I believe it's broader even than that. But give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Don't cast your pearl before swine. They'll trample it under their feet. They'll make fun of you and make fun of what you believe. So God says we're to discern who they are and not give them those things that we should not be giving to them. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. Do you believe there's some false prophets around? Say amen if you believe that. Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Boy, that is true, isn't it? We have the right to discern when people come and they do not believe that Jesus is deity or that he is God. We have the right to say, you're wrong. And God says, don't even say to those people, God bless you. Don't say that to them. One of the acid tests to anybody is, who do you say Jesus is? And if you do not say that he was God in the flesh, the Immaculate One who never sinned, the one who never failed, then you're wrong. Dead wrong. I don't care how sweet you are, how nice you are. I had someone talking to me yesterday for a little while, and they were talking about someone that had befriended one of their relatives, and they came by and started a Bible study. Well, that's their bait and hook to get into you many times. And in the Bible study, they began to talk to them about soul sleep. Are you with me? Do you know who I'm talking about now? They began to talk to them about soul sleep. And they began to talk to them about how wrong we were, because our Bible, their Bible, is based on the real Hebrew and based on the real Greek, and they have the right version of the Bible, and they teach that and bring that to those people. And she was asking me about it because they had quoted some verses to her and thrown some things at her, and she was asking me about it, and I had to explain some of those things, and then I said to her, leave them alone. Don't let them back in your house. Tell them they are not welcome. You say, that's awful harsh. That's Bible. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. And don't let them start talking to your loved ones and friends and people like that. No matter how nice they are, no matter how many clothes they bring you, no matter how much they cook for you and bring it over, friend, if they're wrong on their doctrine, they are wrong. And we are to discern that and say that. If they teach that it would be the different things that are practiced in a liturgical way in the church, the different things that they say, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and that turns into transubstantiation or consubstantiation, the literal blood and body of Christ, or partially the blood and partially the body, and all of that, and they tell you that that's okay, you say, I know better because my Bible teaches me, that's not okay. Amen. That's discernment. That's biblical discernment, and God tells us it's all right. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If they're telling a lie and teaching the wrong thing, and teaching things that contradict the Word of God, then we must call their hand. And that's part of my responsibility as your pastor, to point out who they are. And that's not always easy because you get misunderstood and people think you're mean and hateful and that you just don't like people. And that isn't it at all. There is a proper biblical discernment, and we have to point it out and tell you who they are. And if you don't really like it, it's just one of those things that has to be done. Because the Bible says there's discernment. And so if it's a cult, we're going to tell you what they are. If they are liberal, we're going to call them out and say they don't really believe in the Word of God. They don't believe this is the inerrant Word of God. They don't believe the blood of Christ was shed for your sins. They're liberals. They don't believe in the teaching of the Bible that says once saved, always saved. And they will allow all kinds of things in practice and polity in what they do. And they're dead wrong. And it's our responsibility to always keep up what was once delivered to the saints in the early church and to keep that doctrine pure and holy before your people. If a man and woman are living in adultery, we say that's wrong. Amen? That's discernment. The Bible says it's wrong, so it's wrong. If we say that a man should not be married to another man, so-called, or a man should not have a relationship, a sexual relationship with another man, is that being cruel? Is that being homophobic? Or is that just preaching the Word of God? Amen. It's preaching the Word of God. Amen. It's saying that's what God says. It is not saying we don't love them and we don't. It's not saying we don't want them to be saved. It's not saying we want them to go to hell. It's saying this is right, this is wrong. That's what God says. And so Jesus condemned the unnecessary. He condemned the unnecessary criticism, but he did not condemn necessary discernment. It's there. Now let me remind us tonight that criticism is a boomerang. It's a boomerang. And criticism affects your spiritual life. I was wondering, Dr. David Gibbs was preaching here at the Mount of Byron Conference, and he preached on pride. And I thought when he started, I thought, well, what does that have to do with missions? And before he got through the message, I found out it had a lot to do with missions. And this has a lot to do with everything in our lives. Criticism is a boomerang. Did you know that criticism breeds criticism? And he says that. He reminds us of that. That it is a boomerang. For with what judgment, verse 2, ye judge, ye shall be judged. What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Whatever judgment you have and criticisms you have, it's going to come back toward you. It just works that way. I've tried to throw a boomerang a time or two and it wouldn't come back to me, but I know this is true. It will come back to you. Criticism will come back to you. It's one of the easiest things in the world to do is to criticize other people. To find fault with them. Now, what you demand in others is going to be demanded in you and maybe a little bit more. So God says criticism is a boomerang. That's the way it works. If you're going to put it out, you're going to get a whole lot of it back. And you're not going to like it when you get it back. What we need to do is learn not to be so critical and to not have critical hearts and critical spirits. And then I said God must have a sense of humor. Go back to verse 3. And look what he says. He's saying, why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And what he's simply saying is, a lot of us have, as it were, a 2x4 sticking out of our eye. If you can just visualize that for a moment, here's that 2x4 sticking out of your eye, or some kind of big item of wood that is sticking out of there. And here we are with a 2x4, and we're trying to reach over here and get this little bitty speck out of somebody else's eye. God says the thing we need to do first of all is to take care of what's in our eye. That's called hypocritical criticism. And we cannot adequately do that until we get ours straightened out, and then follow this. The reason and the purpose behind it is not to hurt them or destroy them, even if you get it right in your mind and in your eye and in your heart. Then the reason behind it is to help them out. To help them, not to tear them up and tear them down and try to destroy them. Why do we try to do that to the body of Christ? Why do we try to do that to each other? There's no reason for us to do it, and it's totally contrary to the Word of God. And so God says this hypocritical criticism becomes a 2x4 or a beam in our own eye. And so he says we need to look at ourselves. I've discovered, and we're always tempted with this temptation to be critical, but I've discovered that if I take care of myself and look in the mirror of God's Word enough, often enough, like I should, it's going to show me that I have so much to take care of in my life that I really don't have a lot of time to go around criticizing everybody else. Youth, some of the youth criticize the other youth. Some of the parents overly criticize their children. Some of the children criticize their parents. Other Christians criticize other Christians in the local church. Fellowships criticize other fellowships. Bible colleges criticize other Bible colleges. We need to be careful because God does not like criticism. Now, why do people criticize? I believe this. Most criticism is done to build up the person who is criticizing. Now, you be honest about it and think about it. And think about the times you've been critical. So many times, it's not discernment. It's that you want to seem better and bigger in the eyes of other people. And so we as Christians criticize them so it makes us look better. It makes us seem more important. God's not pleased with that, folks. God says get rid of that stuff and get it out of our lives. It is so easy to be that way. And you notice that most criticism is done to build up ourselves, and this person evidently saw something, and why would they see it? They're looking for it. People that are critical all the time are looking for something. They're always looking for something. And if you look for something, you can concoct something. If you don't find something, it's out there always. Nobody is perfect. But what good does criticism do if we go around tearing each other down and being critical of one another? This person was looking for something. And so many people are just like that. So what does he say? He says in verse 5, get rid of the beam. Thou hypocrite. Very strong language. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye. That's the step number one. Don't be critical, but cast out the beam out of your own eye. This doesn't free us to criticize other people. That's not the purpose of it. Doesn't free us up. You say, well, now I've got rid of the beam. Now I can go after their hide. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying it frees us up, as I said earlier, to help other people, to come up by their side. If you want to help somebody out and say it to them in a loving way and sit down with them as a Christian brother or sister in private without just trying to build yourself up and maybe giving them a suggestion or something, you might be able to do that. Your motive has to be right. But first, be sure that you're right in your heart with God before you go criticizing other people. And then when you do, go to them in love to help them out. There's too much criticism. Where do we find it? We find it in our homes. Some of you husbands need to quit being so critical of your wives. No amens there because you're scared to say it out loud. I won't blame you. But I'm telling you, some husbands are so critical of their wives, it's a wonder they ever feel free to do anything. And husbands, we need to be careful about that because God wants us to have a good relationship in the home. And God says, husbands, if you don't treat your wives right, God's not going to answer your prayers. It's just that simple. So we don't need to be mean-spirited and critical of our mates. And husbands, that's the way it is with you and your wives and wives with you and your husbands. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know. He ain't much. Well, you married him. You chose him. Don't be critical. And I know sometimes things change. I understand that. But in our homes, if we'd be less critical, listen, you never know that the last day that you walk out that door, you walk out of a morning, that may be the last day you see your mate. You don't know. You have no guarantee that you'll see them at supper time. We need to be less critical and more loving. We need to build one another up in the home. Husbands ought to build up their wives. Wives ought to build up their husbands. And we should encourage one another. God knows we need encouragement in these days. We don't need to be critical. We need encouragement. We need to pray for one another and ask God to help. And then in our Christian community, and especially in our local church, it's so easy to find fault in a local church. You know why? Because they're humans. You see, if I didn't have to deal with people, my ministry would be so easy. Where there are no oxen, the crib is clean, the Bible says. But thank God I have to deal with people. And sometimes that's good, and there are rare occasions that it isn't the best. But in the local New Testament church, you can always find some little something that you don't like. My soul, try keeping the temperature to satisfy everybody. You have women out there doing this, and then you have some of them wrapped with a coat around themselves, and the men sitting there laughing, and they're thinking everything's too hot, you know. But you're never going to please everybody with everything. Now, some people don't like green carpet. Well, you might have to find a different church. I don't know. Surely you wouldn't, but that happened to be what we chose when we were planning to do this. And I like red carpet, and I like other kind. I don't like orange too much in a church. I've been in some, but if that's what they want, that's all right. Let them have it. But we don't need to be critical of everything, every little thing. If there's a little change in everybody, we never did it that way before. Well, thank God we're doing it different once in a while. Amen. We get in such a rut, and a rut is just a grave with both ends kicked out of it. And we get in a rut like that sometimes. Sometimes we need a little change. Sometimes we need to do it a little differently. Now, we're not going to go far out. We're not going to get contemporary and all of that kind of thing. And I'm not talking about that. But I'm just saying we can always find something to be critical about. But how does that help us? How does that help anybody in the local New Testament church for people to be critical of other people in that church? Critical of the deacons, critical of leadership, critical of other things. We don't need to do that. And we don't need to turn around and be critical of other people in the church. God help us to build each other up. That's what God teaches us we ought to do. If you got a fault with somebody, don't go tell everybody else about it. You know, I like what the barbershop signs say sometimes. If you don't like what we're doing, tell us. If you do, tell others. That's a good practice for a church, amen? But we need to not be critical in the local church. There's too much criticism. So God is saying that we need to look at it, be careful with it. Yes, there's discernment. Yes, we have to call it what it is sometimes. But there are so many areas that we just cannot afford to practice criticism. I don't like the way he sings, or I don't like the way she sings, or I don't like yellow ties, or I don't like red shirts, or I don't... You know, we get sort of ridiculous sometimes about that. I don't like wire-rimmed glasses. Friend, I'm just saying there should be a saturation of love and kindness and mercy. Aren't these things that are taught in the Bible that are fruit of the Spirit? And if anybody on the face of God's green earth should get along with each other, it ought to be brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Not compromising, but getting along for His glory. And of course, we have to tell you there's only one way to heaven. People say, we don't like that. One way? Who do you think you are saying there's one way? I'm telling you what Jesus said. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your Savior tonight. If you're not saved, come and receive Him as your Savior. If you have something in your heart against someone or whatever, God says, before you go give them a gift, come to the altar and get that right. Some of you maybe in this very building have anger and bitterness against someone. You need to make sure before you leave out of here tonight that you get that thing right before Almighty God. God help us to not be critical. Amen. Let's stand, please. We'll bow our heads and have our invitation. Maybe God has spoken to you about something along these lines, maybe something else. If you're looking for a Bible-believing church home, God's leading you here, you come tonight. We would welcome you as we do our members. And if you have a spiritual need, may God help you to come. If you're here without Christ, if you do not know, sir, ma'am, you, somebody here, you don't know that you're going to heaven, step out and let us show you how to be saved tonight. Would you do that? You'll be glad you did.